I have asked for this radio and television time tonight for the purpose of announcing that we today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
That's the moment when President Nixon announced that there would be an end to the war in Vietnam with the signing of the Paris Peace Accords. Those accords put an end to a nearly two decades-long conflict exactly 50 years ago today. The war had dragged on through four presidencies, and it cost almost 60,000 American lives. Millions of Vietnamese lives on both sides of the war were lost, too. Following the end of the war, a new relationship was formed, at first a tense peace, but in the past few decades, both sides have made strides toward closer ties, the biggest leaps coming since the start of the 21st century. Here is then-President Barack Obama speaking in 2015 from Hanoi about the growing relationship between the two countries.
Over the past century, our two nations have known cooperation and then conflict, painful separation, and a long reconciliation. Now, more than two decades of normalized ties between our governments allows us to reach a new moment. It's clear from this visit that both our peoples are eager for an even closer relationship.
At the time of that visit, Jonathan Stromseth was an advisor in the State Department with a focus on Vietnamese relations. Now he is senior fellow and the Lee Kuan Yew Chair in Southeast Asian Studies at the Brookings Institution, and he joins me now to discuss how that relationship has evolved and what comes next. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here.
You recently wrote about the opportunity to upgrade U.S.-Vietnamese relations. What are the relations at the moment between these two countries, would you say?
Since normalization in 1995, relations have really expanded dramatically. Bilateral trade has grown 200-fold, I think, since that time. Annual U.S. investment in Vietnam is now at about $2.8 billion. The U.S. on the security side is delivering, like, refurbished U.S. Coast Guard cutters to the Vietnamese Navy. Aircraft carriers are visiting Vietnamese ports. On the human side, you've got the Vietnamese sending 30,000 students a year to the United States for educational institutions, which makes it the sixth highest ranking among all sending countries. Mm.
So relations have really evolved for the better, it sounds like, since the end of the Vietnam War. How did they start?
Now, I would say this evolution, while dramatic in hindsight, it was quite slow, and it started with efforts to normalize trade relations, work on legacy of war issues, unexploded ordnance, and things like that. But it has come quite a long way, at least as you look back on it, on a 20 to 25-year basis.
And the economic growth within Vietnam has been significant.
Yes. Vietnam, I think, is tooting its own horn a little bit at the moment. It had 8% growth this year, which is the fastest throughout Asia. In fact, far outstrips China's growth.
Hmm. And so as we hit this 50-year anniversary, do you sense a willingness on both sides, Vietnam and the U.S., to develop relations further? And what might that look like?
Over the last 18 months or so, the Biden administration has been stating quite publicly that the United States would like to upgrade relations in diplomatic lexicon from a comprehensive to a strategic partnership. And in fact, the possibility of such an upgrade has been discussed off and on for years in quiet diplomacy. So I think it's fair to say the Vietnamese are also interested. But the idea has never quite been realized, I think partly due to Vietnamese concerns that such a development could be construed in Beijing as perhaps hostile to China.
Well, let's talk about that, Vietnam's relationship with China. There are currently good relations, but there are concerns about a Chinese backlash to any strengthening of ties with the United States. Do you think those are valid concerns?
I'm not sure the Vietnamese would state that publicly, but that's certainly my analysis. You know, I think the Vietnamese want to have diversified foreign policy with many countries, but they're also realists. They are a country of 100 million people. That's a sizable middle power to be sure, but they are on the doorstep of a military and economic superpower, China. And Vietnam is also dependent on China economically. About a fifth of Vietnam's imports come from China, and those imports are indispensable to Vietnam's manufacturing supply chain. So I think China has a lot of leverage and could do some damage.
So in some ways, then, is there competition between the U.S. and China for influence over Vietnam economically and politically?
You know, you could say that that is true throughout Southeast Asia, which is sometimes seen as a kind of epicenter of U.S.-China competition. And Vietnam is right at the center of it. Vietnam faces the South China Sea. It has long-standing territorial disputes with China, as China is taking very aggressive actions to realize its really far-reaching territorial claims in the South China Sea. And so there's sort of a sense of common purpose between the U.S. and Vietnam in wanting to check those aspirations and make sure that the South China Sea is free and open for commerce and shipping.
You know, you speak about the economic relationship between the United States and Vietnam. If Vietnam and the U.S. were to grow closer in their relationship, which industries in the United States do you think might benefit them most?
One interesting thing that's happening at the moment is a number of U.S. companies and foreign multinational companies in general are looking to Vietnam and other countries in Southeast Asia as they're trying to diversify themselves out of China. So you certainly see electronic apparel companies steadily shifting some of their manufacturing out of China and to Vietnam. And they see this as part of their own diversification plan. And obviously, they see Vietnam as a top opportunity as the fastest growing economy in the region. There are problems like corruption and tightening data rules in Vietnam, but I think it's still a very attractive platform.
That's the Brookings Institution's Jonathan Stromseth. Jonathan, thank you for your time. Really interesting.
It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you.